Praise God for His presence here this afternoon, and that wonderful, wonderful song and the promise that's true. Praise the Lord. Psalm 51 for our scripture reading this afternoon. Psalm 51, as we search our hearts at camp meeting time, here are some wonderful verses. If you're able, stand with us, please, for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 51. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for your presence. We sense this afternoon your help in this camp meeting to this point, and we ask that you would continue to help us here throughout this day. Bring glory to thy name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I have one of these dumb smartphones. I haven't had this one all that long, and I was staying somewhere recently, and I noticed that my battery was running low. As we say in Pennsylvania Dutch country, my battery was gone. And I would plug it in at night, and the next morning, the battery still wasn't charged. And it was, I thought, well, that receptacle, that outlet is not working, so I changed the outlet and plugged it in, and the battery still wouldn't charge then. And I began to investigate, and the little digimaflop that you hook the cord into here at the bottom of the phone, I noticed there was something in there, and I began digging around in there with a little, actually a toothpick, and I was able to get something out of there, and the more I dug, the more I was able to bring out of there, and I found out that the lint had little by little filled that little digimaflop until it would no longer charge properly. And I began to think about all of that lint that I picked out of that digimaflop, and I looked up what lint was. It's composed of tiny bits of fabric fibers that are shed from the edges of our garments. Fabrics made of natural fibers like cotton and wool generate more lint than fabrics made of rayon or other synthetic materials. I know that you're all appreciating that lesson here this afternoon. But bits of fiber break off from our clothing from the friction of wear. And God really spoke to my heart about my battery that wouldn't charge and about the lint that it accumulated. There is a lot of lint that can accumulate in our lives from the friction of wear. There is the lint of busyness. In the busyness of life, we find ourselves moving through our days so quickly. And if we're not careful, lint builds up, cutting off the power between us and God. If I were to assess what could be wrong in my own congregation, it's the fact that I have wonderful, wonderful people who truly do love the Lord. And really, there's not many of us that are tempted to go out and buy a pack of cigarettes. Not many of us that are tempted to go down to the bar and drink a beer. But we are so busy doing good things that I see us, Wednesday night we're there because, you know, we should be, and we should be, amen. But we're just wore plumb out. And then Sunday morning, you know, Sunday school time, you drag in, and Sunday morning worship, we're there, and we wouldn't choose anything else. We want to be there. Really, about by Sunday night, after we've had our afternoon nap, we're about ready to worship Sunday night. You know what I'm saying? and we're just so busy. And I want to warn us tonight. I am busy. I want to warn us this afternoon that the scripture still says in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And camp meeting is wonderful. If for no other reason, it just draws us away and apart. And it draws us to a place where we have scheduled times of prayer and scheduled times of drawing near to God and services where we can hear the truth preached and the songs sung. And we need this, people. I really get frustrated when I hear people my age, preachers my age, my generation, saying, you know, that the day of camp meeting is pretty well over. That's an old method. You've been doing it here for 129 years, and it's an old method. And I sure do understand it is an old method. So if you decide that camp meeting, you know, is no longer the right method, okay. If you this afternoon and your board meeting decide that 129 years are enough, okay, then tell me, what are you going to put in its place? What are you going to do? And that's fine. There's nothing in the Bible that says you have to have a camp meeting. But if you're not going to have a camp meeting then, what are you going to put in its place that is calling people to the Word in a systematic way, that's calling people to godly fellowship in a systematic way, that's calling people to prayer and fasting in a systematic way, that's calling people to get on their knees and fast and pray for a breakthrough in a systematic way if you're not going to have camp meeting? And the same could be said for revival meeting. We have churches not having revival meeting. I had a very big wheel sit across from me at a table and tell me that the days of revival are pretty well over. Talking about revival meetings are pretty well over. That you can't get people to come out, and that, you know, it's hard to find a good evangelist, and da-da-da-da-da, and, you know, it's just an old method. So I thought about that, and I have the same answer. Okay. So if we're not going to have a revival meeting in our church, what are you going to do to replace it that's calling your people to revival and soul searching? What are you going to do to replace it? And I have friends who have done away with their revival meetings, and they're no longer part of a camp meeting, and they have not. I have yet to see one of them. I'll be happy to see the first example. But as of yet, I have yet to see one of them that have found a replacement that brings their people to soul searching, humbling before God, around the altar, crying out to God for souls and revival, and bring me back, Lord, closer to you, and get the lint out of my pocket that has built up. I have yet to see one. They have a lot of new methods, and I'm not against all the new methods. But we can't do without these times of soul-searching and calling upon God. And if for no other reason, because we're so stinking busy, we've got to take time to say, oh God, we need thee in a fresh way, in a new way. Some of you don't even have time to be here, but you're already glad you came because you realize the lint of busyness is building up in my pocket. And if I'm not careful, it's going to cut the power between me and God. And I can lose out on a lot of things, but I don't dare be disconnected from the power. There's the lint of busyness. There's the lint of carelessness. We can become careless in our priorities so easy. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 talks about we must not be conformed to this world. And we pretty well summed that up to be dress and entertainments. But the facts are, it's a whole lot bigger than that. And if we're not careful, we can become this little clique of people who look different, just like the Amish or the Mennonite, or the Muslims, or the Mormons. We can be this little clique of people who look different, but our priorities are no different than the people down the street. It's still sports and fast cars and money that consumes us. And we want our kids to climb the ladder of business and everything else. Bible college is for a few eccentric, maybe a few preachers' kids. Follow me? We don't really want our kids to go into the work of God. We're hoping God will let them make a bunch of money. You know what we've become? Conformed to this world. C.S. Lewis said, Christianity, if false, is of no importance. And if Christianity is true, it is of infinite importance. And he said, the only thing Christianity cannot be is moderately important. William Carey said, I'm not afraid of failure. I'm afraid of succeeding at things that do not matter. The lint of carelessness can build up in our pocket. We can become careless in our priorities. We can become careless in our relationships. We talked about this last night. And really, Brother Smith touched on that pretty strongly this morning, especially dealing with family, but also friends and people in the church. That was a phenomenal study this morning. And I heard it splash in my own heart. You maybe didn't need that, but I did. Because there's nothing that grieves me more than those who are walking away from everything that they know. And I want to have the right attitude. I want to have the right spirit. I want to know what to say. I don't want to constantly be hitting the landmines in relationships. Philippians 2:2, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. We don't all agree on everything, but we're going to have to exhibit Jesus Christ. When you have your board meeting this afternoon, if you disagree about things, I'm on a camp board. We disagree on things, on where the money should be spent on our camp board that I'm a part of. We disagree. We have different ideas on the priority of the finances and where it ought to go. We have different ideas on who we think the next evangelist should be at our camp. I'm talking about the camp that I'm a part of, and I serve on a camp board. And we have different ideas on different things. But when we leave the board meeting, I sure hope my kids don't know about it, the differences. And I sure hope these young people that are in this service this afternoon never hear about any differences. Because we be brethren. Let me tell you, little by little, we can become careless in our relationships. Until we're praying for revival and contending for revival, and revival is a million miles away. Because we're not getting along. If we're not getting along, revival is a million miles away. And since I'm from Pennsylvania and this is Kansas, I don't know a thing, Brother Goodwin. I do not know a thing. And I don't want to know. But we have too many chips on shoulders, too many grudges, too many long-standing problems. The holiness movement is very connected, have you noticed? Our holiness kids marry holiness kids. That's actually how it should be. But boy, then it gets complicated when you have in-laws and outlaws. You know what I'm saying? And we can become careless in our relationships, and the lint can build up, and it will disconnect the power. We can become careless in our convictions. Ephesians 5:15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. These are desperate days, and they're not the kind of days to all of a sudden introduce accommodation to the world, into our churches, our families. Of all days, these are days when we need a good, healthy dose of suspicion about the age in which we live and the worldliness that afflicts us. Sometimes I wish we could just introduce for 1 year in our own movement a moratorium that we will not change one inch this whole year on anything, even if you can't even find it in the Bible, but if we've held to it for 50 years, before we move it, let's have 1 year of debate about it, because there could be a reason that they thought that was a danger. I'm not talking about holding to nonsense that's not in the Word. On the other hand, we've now, just in the last few years, decided that the length of a sleeve doesn't matter. And have you noticed, since we decided that, they keep getting shorter and shorter? Did you notice that? Well, I don't want to base my ministry on sleeves, length, a couple inches around whatever inch you like. That's not our watchword and song. But you tell me what I'm supposed to do. Working with IHC, and you tell me what we're supposed to do, because honestly, Beavertown God's Missionary Church, I've pastored there for 22 years. I've had the greatest of preachers, Dan Stetler, Mike Avery. Who can I think of right now? Henry Miller and Daryl Stetler and Joe Smith and Rodney Loper. And all these preachers across the years at my church, and now I'm in a position where I have the opportunity to call preachers to come to conventions, and I'm just telling you that in my church, we've never had an evangelist. It's not that we ever thought that sleeves were a big deal. In fact, I look back across my ministry and realize I've cracked a lot of jokes about that, because some people have made that their watchword and song, the length of a sleeve, the inches. And I was realizing recently, you know, I've never even called an evangelist to my church that wears short sleeves. I mean, I haven't. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying I never have. I mean, the great evangelists of the past that have been right here at this camp meeting, I doubt you can find one or two. You know what I'm saying? We were careful about our sleeves. So we've given that up. And you know what the next thing is now? You know what the next thing is now, don't you? The length of our britches. You see? So now shorts are okay as long as they're to the knee. With a lot of people. Yeah. Now here's the problem that I'm in. Okay? I love everybody. Many of these people are my friends. They're great preachers. Here's the problem I'm in, and maybe you can advise me. I don't want to cut people off for a few inches of cloth. You know what I'm saying? I think to myself, well, maybe it's always been this way. Maybe it's always been this way. It's just that we didn't have Facebook to tell us. You know what I'm saying? It's probably always been this way. H. Rob French, Glenn Griffith, H. E. Darnell, Judy Williams, the Victory Trio, all of these evangelists in the past, Adcock, Wilcox, Flexen, all of these great evangelists who build our schools and churches and denominations and camp meetings, all these great evangelists, Agin, all of these great evangelists, they probably all did wear short sleeves, or maybe they went out to mow their lawn without a shirt on, you know, and they probably went to the beach in their shorts and bathing suits, you know what I mean? It's just that they didn't have Facebook, you know what I mean? Do you suppose that's the reason? There's something inside of you that just recoils, doesn't it? It recoils. So what are we supposed to do? I'll tell you what I want everybody just to do. Be a little more careful so we don't have to worry about it. You know what I'm saying? Here's what I just want everybody to do. Don't make me cut anybody off. Don't you make any camp meeting figure out what they're going to do with this new situation. Let's just all keep being more careful. And you know, maybe you did find a private beach somewhere, you know, and it's just you and your son and no one else is around, and so you do. I mean, let's face it, it's probably easier to swim. I can't swim, so I don't know, but it's probably easier to swim, you know, without a three-piece suit on. And so let's say you do find, it's none of my business. You know, I couldn't care less, really, I couldn't. But, you know, if you do that, then would you save all of us some grief? We don't want to see your legs on Facebook. We just have so many people that want to show their legs. And I don't want to see them. This really isn't a straitjacket at all. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. And my encouragement to our young people who may be thinking about all of this, and my son battles this huge because, you know, my son, we've always ask that our children wear sleeves, past their elbow, and they, when we go on vacation, we're the same on vacation as if we were here at McPherson Camp. I mean, that's all the difference I know. I was raised that way, and I thought we were doing this for keeps. You know what I'm saying? So, but my son battles this huge, and my daughter, because they're like some of the most conservative young people in my church, some of the most conservative young people when they go to youth camp, some of the most conservative young people when we travel across the country. And it's just a huge battle. And my son is facing things I never faced. When we went to camp meeting, our evangelists, they exhibited what we believed. And now my son is asking me, well, brother so-and-so does it, I just saw on Facebook where that pastor, he just went to the Pittsburgh Pirates game. Dad, I mean, what in the world is your problem? And I go into my prayer closet and I get down on my knees and say, oh God, what is my problem? I don't want to be a problem. I don't want to be divisive. I can't stand it. I don't even want to be strict. I have no interest in narrow-mindedness and nonsense. But the lint of carelessness with our priorities and relationships and convictions is honestly killing us. Rodney Griffin said, happiness is a Walmart shopping cart that doesn't pull to the left. And these days, he said, I'm happy for anything that doesn't pull to the left. Lent builds up in our pocket and it cuts off. I'm not asking you to have my convictions. I'm not asking you to be something you're not. I'm not asking you to just be strict for strictness' sake. I'm just asking you to keep the convictions that you've made with God. Don't be changing. I'm counting on you. I haven't been here for, 5 or 6 years? I'm counting on coming back to this camp meeting and seeing you here and seeing you the same. I need to see you the same. I need you. I find myself, this is my life now. I travel across the country and I go to different places and different denominations and I don't get to know anybody real well. But I learn to know people that I love, and I find myself unconsciously searching for that young couple. I hope they're still standing by the stuff. I find myself looking for that family, and then I watch their teenagers and I say, oh God, help them. I know exactly what that mom and dad are fighting for, and I hope that they'll just mind God and pay the price to be real between them and God. I find myself pulling for young couples and young families and older folks who need to stand by the stuff, sometimes in churches that have drifted away. My own grandmother is 90 years old. She's the only lady left in her holiness church whose hair is not cut. Been part of that. She's the longest member of the church. Been there since my father was saved in the late 1960s. My father was the first saved in that little holiness church from a family that didn't know God. And my grandmother got saved soon after and has attended there all of her life. And it's unbelievable what can happen when we become careless in our convictions. But that Lent will build up in your life and cut off the power. The Lent of busyness, the Lent of carelessness, the Lent of prayerlessness. Leonard Ravenhill was a great English preacher who preached for the Interchurch Holiness Convention here in America in the early days of the IHC. His book, Why Revival Tarries, remains a classic. And he writes, the prayer meeting has become the Cinderella of the church. This handmaid of the Lord is unloved and unwooed because she is not dripping with the pearls of intellectualism, not glamorous with the silk of philosophy or psychology. He said, Cinderella wears the homespun garments of sincerity and humility, and so she is not afraid to kneel. We can do a lot of things without prayer, but oh, how we need prayer to get accomplished what really needs to be accomplished. We spoke briefly about the revival that's happening in North Carolina, and I'm not meaning to elevate that beyond what it should be. It's just totally for what it's worth. But someone asked me after the service, what do you know about it? And I really don't know much about it at all, except that I read into it enough to find out that in that little Baptist church where they called the evangelist, They have prayed every week, had a prayer meeting every week specifically for revival for their church and community. I think it said for 10 years, every single week, a prayer meeting for revival. God has to do something with those kind of prayers if they're Baptist people or if they're holiness people. We are people who say we believe in prayer, but if you're like me, if we're not careful, the first thing that can get crowded out is a prayer time that really prays through. And probably the greatest need in this camp meeting is for some of us to set aside time and to just get alone with God and say, "Now, Lord, I'm here today because it's been too long since I've really prayed through. I've ticked off the list. I've prayed for my son and my daughter and my church and my backslidden brother and my this and my that and this financial need and this physical need of sister so-and-so. But, oh, God, this camp meeting, I'm going to pray through until I know I've touched the throne. And if I can't pray through, then, Lord, I want you to show me what kind of lint has built up in my pocket that is cutting off the battery, the power with God. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? What peaceful hours I then enjoyed, how sweet their memory still. But now I find an aching void this world can never fill. The scary things that are happening in our world, the sad things that are happening in our homes, the lint that is building up and killing the battery life of our soul. For all of our people, I pray, give us tears, get us on our knees. Psalm 51 is a promise. It's not just a petition, but it's a promise. It says that a humble and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. He's not in the business of holding us back and holding us off. He's in the business of coming near. It's just that the sacrifices of God are not the things that the big wheel church movements understand to be the big things. The sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart. And let me tell you that from the first service of this camp meeting, there has been a brokenness in our midst. Have you noticed that? The spirit that has been here has been a brokenness, tears and weeping, the songs that have been sung. And I say, oh God, keep doing whatever you're doing and help your people to keep doing whatever they're doing to break up our hearts. Because it's not really that other church. It's not really those other people that you're seeing on Facebook. If you're a person like me, you don't even need Facebook. I'm not against Facebook. My wife has it, so I can still catch up on the news. They're excellent. It's excellent for prayer requests, keeping in contact with people. I understand all of that, okay? But if you're like me, if your disposition is like me, you don't want it because I get too depressed. I don't need to know about that person or this person. I don't want to know. That's between them and God. And in this camp meeting, the person I have to worry about is not them. The person I have to worry about is me. And Lord, I want a broken heart and a contrite heart, because you'll be pleased with that sacrifice of righteousness. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. With that kind of sacrifice, shall we stand together? Lord, we love you this afternoon, and we close with prayer, asking that you would continue to do whatever it is you're doing in our midst. We just deeply appreciate the spirit of these services and the wonderful, wonderful group of people who are praying this morning. And we just know that people are holding on in the place of prayer, and it's exciting to think about what you're going to do and what you are doing. Lord, you could begin a mighty revival right here at McPherson. And to think about it is just incredible. We don't want to live below our potential, below the possibilities. We don't want to live below your potential. Oh, God, we're excited to think about what you could do. Oh, God, move among us. Help us to get the lint out of our pockets so that the power connection is clear and true. Don't allow the lint of busyness or the lint of carelessness or prayerlessness to build up in the pocket of our soul. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. You're dismissed.